Open your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 3 and John chapter 3. In verse 1 of Matthew chapter 3, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins. His meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." Look in John chapter 3, if you will, please. We begin reading in verse 22. "And these things came Jesus and his disciples unto the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Aenon near to Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. Jesus said, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Think about that. Of all those that had the privilege of being in the earthly ministry of our Lord, he said there was none greater than John the Baptist. You know, in a very real sense, he was the first Christian. Even though that title wasn't given to the disciples of Christ until Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, where they were called Christians first at Antioch. He was also the first Christian witness, the first Christian preacher, and the first Christian martyr. He was the first to baptize converts and possibly started the first local church. As we examine this declaration, he must increase, but I must decrease. We must observe the context to understand its meaning. We must study this statement in light of who he claimed to be. John the Baptist identifies himself as a voice. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, as a witness, chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, and as a friend. So let's examine this declaration in light of those three words, a voice, a witness, and a friend. Turn back to Matthew chapter 23 now, verse 3, and notice what it says. He said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. As a voice, we see his mission. His assignment is given in these first two verses. He came preaching repentance. He came out of the wilderness preaching repentance. That was his assignment that was given to him. That was his mission as a voice, merely to lift his voice, cry loud and spare not, preaching repentance. Every born-again believer has a mission. We've been given an assignment from God to lift our voice loud and spare not. Amen. He said, all power, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them what? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world, or the end of the age. Amen. So he had his assignment. Then we see his appearance in verse 4. His clothing was camel's hair. Camel's hair is coarse. I've sat on a camel. They're not really pleasant to ride. They're really not even pleasant to be around. But they were the burden of the desert. Camel's hair. And then he had a leather girdle about his loins. That certainly wasn't very comfortable. I can imagine he didn't itch much because it was forever scratching him. But then you see he had an unusual dress. He has an unusual diet. His meal or his food, his meat was locust and wild honey. Well, wild honey may be all right, but I'm not for sure about the locusts. Amen. They're akin to crickets and grasshoppers. Yeah. Sort of crunchy. Amen. Like eating tater chips. Now, y'all eat potato chips, but my house is tater chips. Sort of crunchy. Amen. What must you know, really, to make an impression on anybody? The way he's dressed, the way he ate, things he enjoyed. But we find also in verse 2 he was preaching repentance. In verse 12 we find he was preaching judgment, whose fan is in his hand, and he was thoroughly purged into the garner, purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire, preaching on judgment. Boy, that's as popular as a ham sandwich at a bar mitzvah. People don't want to hear about judgment, But friend, we're going to be facing a judgment. Every born-again believer will stand before Him at the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. And we'll give an account for the things we've done in our body, whether they be good or bad. For a long time, I didn't understand the word good in that verse. You may do a lot of good things that look fine in the eyes of men, but if you do it with the wrong motive, it's going to be judged. Then, of course, there's the white throne judgment for the unbeliever. So there is a day of judgment. So he had his assignment. He had his appearance. But then there's his announcement. He was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." Now that statement is a fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. "Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." And then there are the words of Zechariah, his father, in Luke chapter 6, chapter 1 and verse 76. "And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways." He came crying in the wilderness. The word wilderness here is a type of the world. As a believer, we are left in this world with a voice to cry out that Jesus is coming. "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." John the Baptist heralded his first coming. We must preach that he has already come, but he's coming again. Prepare to meet the Lord. Look in verse 6 of chapter 1 of John. Chapter 1 of John, verse 6. As a voice, we see his mission. But now notice, as a witness, we see his ministry. Verse 6 says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light." You'll notice the word witness is in verse 7, verse 8, verse 15, chapter 3, verse 26. So here's what I want you to see. John had a mission. He was a voice. You and I have a mission. We have a voice to lift up, cry aloud, spare not. He had a ministry. He was a witness. You and I are also to be a witness. Our Lord said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, "But you shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Note the word "both" there, Judea and Jerusalem. You not only witness where you are, you witness with your support to missionaries where they are, both at the same time. A lot of churches say, "Well, we don't have much of a foreign mission program because we believe more in a home mission." Well, they're not fulfilling the words of our Lord in that kind of a ministry. You see, as a witness, we have a ministry. Now, a witness is someone who knows something and is willing to tell what he knows. You may know something, but if you're not willing to tell it, you're not a witness. You wouldn't be used in a court of law. Yeah, they know it, but they won't tell it. But a witness is someone who knows something and is willing to tell what he knows. Are you a witness to God's saving grace? Have you trusted Him as your personal Savior? Then to be a witness, you find someone to witness to. Let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. You'll notice, as a witness, we see His ministry. John chapter 1, look in verse 23. John was a witness to the Lord. He said, I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. Make ready for the coming of Jehovah. Jesus is Lord. He's Jehovah in the Old Testament. He's Jesus in the New Testament. One and the same. Look at verse 7 and 8 of chapter 1. He was not only a witness of the Lord, He was a witness of the light. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. He said, I'm not the light, but I came to bear witness of the light. Look in Luke chapter 1 just for a moment. And verse 76 down through verse 79. And let's listen to the words of Zechariah, his father. Verse 76. Luke chapter 1 is in here somewhere. There it is. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto His people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give them light, give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. He's a witness of the Lord. He was a witness of the light. That very familiar verse of John 1:29, He was a witness of the Lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So as a voice, we see His mission. As a witness, we see His ministry. We hear John the Baptist saying, I am a voice, witness to the fact that Jesus is Jehovah the Lord, that Jesus is the light, and that Jesus is the Lamb. He witnessed to Him and who He was. Look in verse 29 again of chapter 3 of John. Come back to these verses of our text. A third thing I want you to see. Keep in mind, as a voice, we see His mission. As a witness, we see His ministry. But now, as a friend, we learn His motivation for His mission and His ministry. Verse 30, He says, verse 29, He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. Now watch this. He must increase, but I must decrease. So here we see Him as a friend and learn something of the motivation for His mission and His ministry. You know, John's disciples were jealous of Jesus' disciples. They came to John and they said, Jesus is baptizing and making more disciples than you. They were upset about it. Know what John said in verse 29. Well, I just read it to you, verse 29. And he told them, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiced greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Then he says, my joy is not because of the reputation of my ministry, but because of the return of Messiah. Throughout the Old Testament, God called Israel his bride. And John is now introducing Jesus, the bridegroom, to the Jews. He's the forerunner of Jesus Christ. So the friend of the bridegroom, he served as an MC. He made all the arrangements for the bridegroom and the bride. He brought them together. He served as liaison between the two of them. So John was saying, from now on, Jesus must have the preeminence and I must be forgotten. As the friend, he made the introduction and then he passed off the scene. I want you to see the kind of friend that John was, which will enable us to apply that verse, he must increase, but I must decrease to ourselves more appropriately. First of all, he was an honest friend. He said, I'm the friend. Jesus is the bridegroom. I'm from earth. Jesus is from heaven. I'm the servant. Jesus is the Savior. He said in verse 27 of chapter 3, he said, a man can receive nothing except it were given to him from heaven. He said, Jesus Christ received all things from the Father. Now watch this. John was totally honest. He had the claim. He had the crowd. He had center stage. Yet he said, I am not the Christ. He was an honest friend. Oh, to see that among God's ministers today. Many will have the claim and the crowd, but they want to flex their muscles and say, look what God's doing. And all the time they're elevating themselves. He must increase. I must decrease. Not only was he an honest friend, he was an humble friend. John would not make himself to be more than what he was. Neither did he make himself to be less than he was. He said, I'm the voice. He's the word. I'm the witness. He's the truth. I'm the friend. He's the bridegroom. John knew what his place was. Now I want you to follow me in your Bible now and let's notice the proof of his humility. Look in John chapter 3. Verse 23 down through verse 27. I'm going to have pointed out to you. Verse 23, it says, and John, for John's disciples. Verse 25, verse 26, and he came unto John. Verse 27, John answered. You'll notice it's all John. Stay with me now. Verse 23, 27. Look at verse 28, 29. It changes. Now it's John and Jesus. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before Him. John and Jesus. Same in verse 29. John and Jesus. But now look at verse 30. Down through verse 34. It changes now from Jesus and John. It's been John and Jesus. Now it's Jesus and John. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speak of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his shield that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. So it's John and Jesus. Jesus and John. Look at verse 35 and 36. It's just Jesus. The Father loveth the Son, giveth all things to his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. He must increase. I must decrease. John, slowly but surely, fades into the shadows, passes off of the scene, because Jesus, and he alone, is to have the preeminence. But not only was he an honest friend and an humble friend, he was a happy friend. He said this, latter part of verse 29, this my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. You know, the true humble saint of God will be a happy saint when Christ is in the forefront and he is in the background. Amen. Always lifting him up rather than self. He must increase. I must decrease. It's not I, it's all him. A.C. Gabelin, I'm going to close with this, but A.C. Gabelin, who was the consulting editor of the Scofield Bible, he saw an establishment specializing in dyeing cloth. And on the outside of the building, he noticed an unusual sign which read, I live to die and die to live. The more I die, the more I live. The more I live, the more I die. Apply that to self. A fellow came to me one time, and in a meeting I hadn't seen him in a while. I said, how you been doing? He said, I'm still living. I said, that's your problem. We're too much alive rather than acknowledging that he deserves the preeminence in our life. Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Amen. Would you stand, please?